We go to the hotline, and we are joined now by Dave South, voice of the Texas A&M Aggies. Dave, thanks so much for coming on with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for having me on. I hope you're having a good day.
Yeah, so far, so good. The freezing rain and sleet hasn't hit, well, Little Rock yet, but it's out there somewhere. Let's see. I think we were doing this last year, Arkansas at Texas A&M to open SEC play.
Yeah, you know, we did, and we we split the two games played last year. We played well here on our floor last season to open up against Arkansas. And it's a much different team this year for Texas A&M than what we had last year in that game that we played here. Agreed, but they ended up winning at their place, and so we split the season series at a game apiece.
What have you seen in this Texas A&M team so far? 9-4 on the season, and obviously some wins, but the non-conference schedule isn't really that flashy.
No, and we've been pretty erratic. We went down and we played Oklahoma as a part of that SEC Big 12 challenge. We played them at the Toyota Center down in Houston. We were 2 out of 22 from the three-point line, but Oklahoma was about 23 or 24 turnovers in the game. We ended up losing it by 12. Then turned right around in our next game and played North Texas, and we were beaten 61-41. I think we shot something like, I didn't get to see the game because I was with the football team over in Atlanta for that Chick-fil-A Bowl. But just looking at the stats, we didn't play well at all in that game. Seems like every time somebody throws up a zone against us, just daring us to shoot the three, we've not been able to do it. I think he has shortened the bench, which is going to help a whole lot. He settled on, I think, the 8 players that he's going to use the remainder of the season, barring any injuries. We don't have we do have a guy that's listed on the roster as a center, but he doesn't play much. And our biggest guy is he's a forward. That's Courtney Robertson, so he has to struggle inside, and they know that that's our inside game. And I was watching when we played University of Texas Pan American in our last game prior to starting conference play here tonight. Every time he touched the ball, he was either double teamed or triple teamed. They're just denying him the ball. But had our troubles against the zone. But hopefully, you continue to work, and maybe each game goes by, you get a little bit better. And that's what this team needs to do in order to compete in the SEC this year.
And that being said, what are the expectations around there for this team this year? NCAA tournament, NIT, and has the atmosphere of the football program at all helped maybe get some recruits or help the basketball program?
Well, I really couldn't address that. We did have an early signing period, and we signed 3 quality guys, and I know the coach is very happy about those signings. As far as expectations, I mean, this is Billy's 3rd year, and he wants to continue to get better. Hopefully that'll happen between now and the end of this conference race. It's a team that plays well together. They've got a lot of energy. I mean, Alex Caruso is, I guess I'd have to pinpoint him as the team leader, along with Jordan Green. Jordan is a much improved player this year from last year. And then Alex Caruso has trouble scoring the ball, but everything else he does well. He gets a lot of steals. He's a big assist guy. I think he's up close now to 60 assists for the year. He's getting some black shots this season. But he gives you lots of energy. He played a season high 35 minutes in that Pan American game. And then Jordan Green, I think, is probably the most improved player from last year to this year on this ball club. We have a lot of new faces. And I think that's been some of the problem early on, is everybody adjusting to how these new guys play. We brought Fabian Harris, who's been coming in off the bench. We've inserted him in the starting lineup the last 2 games. So we'll see if that helps matters some. And then Fabian's the same way that I'd have to describe both Alex Caruso and Jordan Green, as he gives you lots of energy, and he really pushes the ball up and down the floor and shows lots of emotion out there.
Dave South, the voice of the Texas A&M Aggies, joins us here talking about Arkansas and Texas A&M. Obviously, Arkansas on the road tonight at Texas A&M. It's on Fox Sports South. You can hear the Arkansas play-by-play right here on the home of the Buzz Radio Network, 103.7 The Buzz. Dave, what is it about Reed Arena? I mean, it looks, from what I've seen of it on television, is a very nice palatial arena, but it just doesn't seem like one of those hostile environments.
It's an arena that seats about 12,000. And if it's full, if we get, 10 to 11, and we do pack it out from time to time, certain games. But if you get, I would say maybe as little as 9,000, but if you can get 9 to 10 to 11,000, I would stack it up against any home court that I've seen in my 43 years of college basketball. But it's got to be full. If it's not full, then, the noise isn't, the noise level isn't where we need for it to be. We've done well in there. In non-conference, I think we have a record right now of like 117 and 19 or 20 in non-conference games. But our student body brings, they bring a lot to the floor. We have a group called the Reed Rowdies. Now, unfortunately, school is out right now. We don't start classes again until next Monday. So we're not going to have a big student turnout for this one tonight because a lot of them aren't back from the Christmas New Year's holiday. When it's full, when we get above 9,000, I think it's a great home court advantage. It doesn't compare to the old place, G. Raleigh White, which only would seat about 7,000, but they were right on top of you, and that was hostile. That was really an environment that you had to come and see to appreciate. I'd kind of compare it to after Arkansas remodeled Barnhill before they moved to the Walton Arena. And that remodeling, I thought that was a great home court advantage that Arkansas had there.
Dave, Texas A&M basketball, a second go-around in the SEC. What do you think of Billy Kennedy and the players learned about SEC basketball last year?
I think it's a good league. I don't think it is, and I guess I'd have to stand correct if somebody wants to, I wouldn't want to debate on it, but just my observation, Big 12 versus what I see in the SEC, I think that the Big 12 was a lot more physical than what I saw in the SEC. And I have not seen a lot of Big 12 basketball this year. I've caught a couple of games, and I was looking to see how the Big 12 was going to adjust the way they're calling it this year by, you got to keep hands off the other guy. You don't play defense with your hands. And that's going to change that league, in my opinion, if they're calling it as tight as I've seen some of the games called this year. And I think that's an adjustment that we've had to make coming into this season. I don't think that I saw the crowds. And A&M, I'll be honest with you, in the Big 12, when somebody played A&M, they would fill the house. They really would. They love to beat A&M. And I didn't see the crowds at some of the arenas this year or this past year in the SEC that I would see in the Big 12. And I guess that's the difference. I think it's a good style of basketball. It's a totally different style than what we saw when we were in the Big 12. And I think Mike Anderson, when he came, from Missouri in the Big 12, and I think he's brought that style of basketball when he came to Arkansas, he and Melvin Watkins.
If you were Billy Kennedy, what would concern you tonight about this Arkansas basketball
team? I mean, the way they score the ball. Last year I saw about, I guess, three or four Arkansas games in non-conference before the season started, so I kind of had a feel for what they were putting out there on the floor. I have not caught a single Arkansas game this year. My schedule and when they were on TV just didn't match up. The way they score the ball and the way they play defense, that's what would concern me. You get up and down the floor with them, you're likely to get your socks beat off. So that would concern me a whole bunch.
Mike Anderson, 0-4 as a head coach in Reed Arena.
Yeah.
Can the monkey come off his back?
I don't know. That's kind of one of those strange deals in basketball. And the way he's playing right now, he probably has a chance to win a ball game tonight. But we'll have to wait and see because strange things happen.
Let's hope it's a good one. Let's hope it's a tight ball game. And for the people here in Arkansas, obviously they want to win. I know the people down in Aggieland want to win as well.
Yeah, we do. And, I'm excited. It's the late game. We don't start until 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting. It's going to be fun to see.
And, Dave, I want to get real quick because I know you – called the football games too. Your thoughts, Johnny Manziel turning, announcing today that he's going to enter the NFL draft. Just your, words of being able to call his games for 2 years.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I said earlier, this is my 43rd year of college football and college basketball. And in all of those years of doing those games, I've never seen anybody like Johnny Manziel. I mean, I've never seen a college football player, and I've seen some good ones because I not only broadcast the old Southwest Conference and the Big 12 and now the SEC, I've done a lot of games for just independent networks, and I've seen some good players down through the years. He was unbelievable. I've never seen anybody that can take over a game and move it. To give you an example, I was pretty down at halftime of that mm-hmm. Duke game. They really took it to us. It was 38-17. But in the back of my mind, I kept saying, if the defense can get some stops, as long as you've got Manziel, you got a chance to come back and win this thing. And I'll be darned, we scored one time. We had a drive that was 53 seconds long. And if you let they had us down. And if you let us do that, he's going to come back and beat you. And I would look for him to be a very successful pro quarterback. I saw, I guess it was projection today that had him going like number four in the first round, and that wouldn't surprise me a bit. And I think his stock went way up with what he demonstrated in that Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Well, I would agree. Here's the thing with Manziel, and he's not the typical quarterback, but he played his best ball in the biggest games against the toughest opponents. And that's what, listening to John Gruden talk about how he evaluates players is he wants to see their three toughest games. And that's what, Manziel shined in those type of games.
You know what? And you can go back and look at it, but nothing against Alabama and nothing against Auburn in those two games that we played here. If we had had just a little bit of defense, which we didn't in those two games. If we had had a little bit of defense to go with what Manziel was doing with the offense, we would have won both those games. Now, yeah. We had two down games and back-to-back games against LSU and Missouri, and I don't know. He had an ankle injury and he had a thumb injury that was really hurting him and he was passing. But those two games we would have won if we'd had some defense, and that's the kind of player he was. And I've heard somebody, he didn't win the big game. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the Alabama game and the Auburn game, he didn't lose those games. The defense lost those games.
You're exactly right, Dave. Those were, that wasn't all him. Dave, no. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me on.